Hey, thanks for picking me up. This is Ding Donger with Matt Bronger. For those of you who want to call in, I will get the number for you right about now, the Funk Soul Brother. Check it out now, Funk Soul Brother. We've been getting a lot of really cool calls, trying to get people to talk about their holidays. So if you have any questions or need some advice about the holidays, it is the most wonderful slash horrible time of the year, depending. That is the pendulum of life, as we know, when there's potential for greatness, there's also potential for horribleness. So give us a call at 323-776-3609. Again, that's 323-776-3609 for our dear Ding Donger, which has become most of the show. I am still a guy who will hitchhike into your life for half an hour, entertain you, give you a little poke in the cheek, twist your nips, if you're a dude, only if you're a dude, and have a good time with you. But at the same time, now we have a bit of a dialogue. It's one-sided. We choose whose calls get through and everything, but the fun thing is I don't hear them until Andrew, my producer, picks them out. And so I never know what's coming. So speaking of which, let's hear the first call.
Matt Bronger, Fat Donger. This is Curtis, a fellow Oregonian and a summertime girl. My favorite thing about the summer are the dragonflies. I think dragonflies are cool as shit, and I love seeing them fly around and all that. But today at lunch, I was kind of wondering how come we don't see them during the winter months. Do they hibernate? Do they fly south for the winter where it's warmer? So I did some research and found out no, they all just die. All of them, no survivors. And that kind of made me sad. You know, it was kind of a bummer learning that. It wasn't as magical as I thought it was. But it made me think about this question for you. What sad truths about the world of stand-up comedy or, like, the TV industry have you learned where before you became successful, you thought things may have been more magical or glamorous? Thank you for taking my question, and thank you to the producer that has to sort out all the weirdos.
Well, first off, thanks for being a longtime listener, so you know the deal. I appreciate it. Let me just say, Summertime Curtis is one of the best handles I've ever heard. You should call yourself that. Well, Summertime Curtis, I like how you set it up with, you know, what sounded at first. I thought you were going to ask me what happens to the dragonflies in the summer, and it's like, well, you know, the one thing we generally go by on the show is could you Google it first? Kind of thing. Is it something that, you know, you might not learn from experience? But I like when people share facts, so that's awesome that I know that sad thing. They don't just go away. No, the dragonflies, Curtis, they don't just go to grandma's farm for a season and then come back like a happy version of Pet Cemetery. No, yeah, evidently they die. I didn't know that. I too like dragonflies. My girlfriend, wife, Jesus Christ, it's only been a month. She maintains this day she was bit by one or stung or something. And I'm like, I don't think they do that. And I'm sure they do. I don't think she's lying. Like, what a dumb lie to say, you know? Oh, I once made out with a bear. What, like a hairy gay man that's fat? Nope. An actual bear. They don't do that. How would you know? That's a better lie. Bit by a dragonfly. But whatever. I don't think she's lying. But to your question, yeah, man. I mean, shit, how much time do you have for all the disappointments I've discovered since when I started out or I was a kid? Let me just try to pick one. I guess I started out generally pretty realistic about how things might or might not go. I think once you get into seeing the difference between like people that are in it for the art or even just to make a living, and people who are in it just to get rich or to get super famous, we all have a mix of all four of those things, but when there's people that are just the second two, and you will meet some of the most two-faced people you've ever come across, and it is an industry where sociopathic and sociopaths, sociopathic tendencies and sociopaths definitely thrive. So I guess the disappointing thing was how I thought that kind of thing would only exist. My babe in the woods thing was, I thought that was more for only like when you get to the real money, you know, like blockbuster movies or like massive television series or whatever. I didn't think you'd find that as much in the field of comedy, but of course you do, because there are always those people who value their own fame or making money over people's actual lives or whatnot. You know, people willing to walk on other people. The term I've been hearing lately a lot is climbers. And I think we're all kind of climbers, but I think it's like you got to look at what you're climbing. Are you climbing on a wall or a ladder or on other people's backs, you know, metaphorically speaking, that is. You know, unless you're Bruce Wayne trying to get out of that pit that Bane threw you in. That was the most ridiculous shit ever. How would there be a fucking hole and no one knows about it and it's just crazy? And how did he fix a broken... You can't fix a broken back doing stretches. I'm sorry. I went off on a tangent there. But yeah, I think it was kind of just thinking my... Because, you know, everyone I started out with in Chicago, me and the old guys and gals that started out from my graduating class of like the early 2000s, you know, we were kind of babes in the woods, and we would get so starstruck when someone would kind of come through town and be like, I'm a producer, or, you know, if there's a comedy festival and you got into that comedy festival. Like, I remember, someone came to the Chicago Comedy Festival and saw me and said, there's this role in a sitcom. Can you self-tape? And I had a friend tape me, and I did everything wrong in that tape, and I did not know how to act on camera, but I remember just being like, you know, oh, maybe this is my big break, you know, I thought it was more of an industry to play much more than say acting was, but there's good and bad people everywhere. I hope I've answered your question. It's really hard. I know I'm going to be driving home and be like, oh, shit, remember that one thing? I wish I could get a little more specificity for you. But the great thing about it is, as long as you are kind of just trying to make a living and get your art out there, there will always be crushing disappointments, but you'll be around the right kind of people. And I just saw Daniel Van Kirk leaving the studio, who's a horrible guy. He's on the Sklar Brothers show, Dumb People Town. And, you know, you've listened to him. He's insufferable. But I'm kidding. I love Daniel. And he's a super funny, personable guy. And I have no doubt he's going to have his own talk show at some point of some kind, probably in a bar in Chicago that'll be, you know, an international hit. But he asked me about my wedding. He was like, I haven't seen you since the nuptials. And he's like, how was it? And I was like, my advice to you is get married in your 40s. Because at that point, you don't have to answer to anyone. Was some relative going to tell me I have to have mine in a church? Go fuck yourself. I'm 43. I really could care, give a shit. And none of them do, which is great. But they've all had... Everyone else in my family, you know, that's younger than me, has all pretty much, or like around my age, has pretty much got married. So, years ago. So who cares? My stretching weird analogy I'm drawing here is, as long, you know, you're definitely going to have your innocence shattered in this biz on some level, but as long as you yourself are not a shitbag, you're gonna find yourself surrounded with some really good, real people and really interesting, funny, talented people too. The hole not to fall into is go, I should be friends with that person because they could help my career. You know, that's when it's kind of, and listen, everyone can tell. And if you were a very, very famous person and someone sidled up to you and is trying to be your friend, you know why, you know? I mean, you know, Tom Hanks, when he's just out there partying out in the strip clubs, he knows why people are coming up to him and trying to get his number and be his pal. To be in his next Spielberg movie, you know? Because he's partying Tom Hanks. I wish he really did that. Okay, let's take the next call.
Hey, Matt. It's Steve Agee.
Ha!
Your friend. What's your deal? Just a total stranger. I guess it even works for me. It was just like, hey, what's your deal? What would your answer be? If you were just minding your own business, you weren't doing anything specific, and some dude just came up to you and said, what's your deal? What would your answer be? Would you have a legitimate answer, or would you have just like a, fuck you, get out of my face? Do you have a deal, I guess? Also, my other question is, what's your favorite kind of store-bought pasta sauce? Like, say you're making spaghetti tonight. You got to go down to Gelson's and get some pasta sauce. What's a Matt Bronger going to buy? What do you recommend? That's all I got, Matt. Hope you're well. Bye.
Steve AG. I love Steve to death. That's the first one is one of those fantastically vague, fantastically perfect questions. Yeah, if a dude just came up to me and asked what's my deal out of nowhere, I think I'd laugh. I don't know if I'd tell him to fuck off, but I don't think I would answer him because that sounds like it goes into the category of what the fuck are you looking at, or what's your problem kind of thing. Like, he's trying to start some shit. But if Steve's asking that question, I think I'm just an only child comedian who lives on a mixture of joy and fear, trying to get people entertained with an outlook on life being finite, and just trying to savor every bite of every sandwich. I think that's my deal. But I also, Steve, I just saw you. I gave platelets today. If anyone has familiarity with my album and special Big Dumb Animal, which is going to Amazon Prime soon, plug. I have a bit about giving platelets, which, if you guys don't know, it's you go to the Red Cross and they put a needle in each of your arms and they take some blood out and they put it in a spinner and they get the white blood cells out. Then they put the blood back into you. It takes about an hour and a half. Sometimes longer. And so you just lay in this kind of easy boy chair. And before, like when you come in, after you answer all the questions, you pick a movie, you pick a DVD, because that's what you do the whole time while they're taking out your bodily fluids and doing things with them. And it's a cool thing. Like if you have, I have A positive, and that's the blood they're always looking for. And it helps cancer patients, specifically kids. So that's kind of, I do it about 5 or 6 times a year. And anyway, so I picked out Guardians of the Galaxy 2, which I saw in the theaters and I wasn't too nuts about. But I usually pick a movie I've already seen. I know what to expect. I'm wary of getting a movie that I haven't seen. And there's some like heartbreaking moment and I start crying in the chair and I can't wipe my face. That's my fear. So I'll take like an action movie or, you know, something. So anyway, Steve is in that as a hilarious space pirate. And that's my favorite thing. When I see some friend of mine in a movie just out of nowhere, like I knew he was in it. I didn't know what he was doing in it. So that's so fucking crazy that you called in. Cause I just saw you in a movie while I had a needle in each of my arms. And not in the fun way. You know, not when you're doing the old heroin cross arm, right? We've all done that, me and Steve. We were younger and had hope. My favorite kind of store-bought pasta sauce, I read something, I think it was Mario Batali said, if you're going to buy a store-bought pasta sauce, just get the one with the least amount of ingredients. And so I will, if I'm getting like a red sauce, I will get the one with just has like tomatoes and I try to get the one with the most garlic in it. The most garlicky tomato sauce that doesn't have sugar in it. That's kind of the one that I get. Boring answer, but yeah, there you go. Thanks for calling in, Steve. That was really awesome. And you know, I hate to say it. This is going to sound un-PC, but Steve, I will never forgive you for turning Ellen Page gay. Just a wrong. I've told Steve this, by the way. And by the way, I don't fucking believe that. You can't turn someone gay. But we did this Channel 101 roast, and I made fun of Steve because he always has pictures of himself with some famous person that he's been hanging out with, and he had like thousands, and he puts them online. It's not like he keeps them in a shoebox to beat off into. No, he puts them online, and so he had all these, every Instagram photo of him in like 2012 or something was with him and Ellen Page, and then like something like months later she came out publicly, and so that was what I was going to say in the roast, and I forgot to say that shit. God damn it, because Steve is a big monster like me. And, you know, it was just the idea that the two of them just hanging out, not even being sexual at all, just playing guitar together and, you know, buying shrimp at a roadside seafood stand or something and just hanging out, and her going, you know what? Guys are fucking gross. And then there you go. That's how you switch. But honestly, God damn it. Ellen Page is so pretty and cool. But yeah, look, thanks again for calling in. Steve's one of those guys who is just a giant sweetheart, and I love to see him in literally anything. Steve, last thing I'll say about Steve. Steve had the funniest bit about he was on a Sarah Silverman program with Brian Posehn, and they played a couple, and he had this bit about how he would get all these letters from guys that were like, thank you for presenting the gay men that I know and that I am, and it, like big middle-aged out of shape men, and they had pictures they'd send him, and he'd look at the pictures and go, I don't want to be this kind of fucking gay man. I don't want to look like me. So it's dark and it's fucked up, and it's one of my favorite kinds of jokes. Anyway, let's get another call.
Hey, Mr. Dingery Doo. This is Mr. Barnaby Jones here. I might remember to hit you up a while back. Appreciate that. So my question is, having to do with holiday stuff, every year my company I've been with for fucking 12 years now, they have a end of the year meeting, massive hotel, nice stuff, but it's a week's worth of training. And during this week, I have to share a room with another man that is just kind of describe the coworkers I have, super alpha male. I am definitely not that at all, in the car industry, if you will. Anyway, so my question is, I have to spend an entire week with tons and tons of people who have drastically different Southern values than I do. That's why I moved out there and moved up to Portland, man. So, question, how in the hell do you deal with a bunch of alpha dogs around you without just fucking walking away and, you know, still keeping up good ties with your coworkers, dude? All right, thanks a bunch, man. Always love your stuff and can't wait to hope to see you again sometime in Portland, man. Peace.
Hey, Barnaby. Thanks for calling in, man. Yeah, thanks for the kind words. I'll be back in Portland. I'm playing Helium for New Year's Eve. So yet another plug. You can go to mattbronger.com for tickets. Yeah, I'll be there that weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. But enough about me. Yeah, that's a conundrum, man. It's tough that not only you have to do, you know, a week of training, but you have to share a room with someone else. That's rough stuff. And especially you describing they seem diametrically different than your outlook. But I think my first piece of advice would be just overall, don't drive yourself crazy. I find so often in my life, and it took me a long time to get to this point, to reach this realization of my truth, is that more often than not, I will drive myself insane if I let myself, just imagining and already preparing, for what's to come. If you're like me, you have arguments in your head with people. I think everyone does that. And those are dumb. It's stupid. You have these dumb little victories in your head that mean nothing. And you're projecting on a person an imaginary dynamic. You know, like they say in yoga, just be mindful and be aware of how much you're doing to yourself in terms of mental damage and you know, driving yourself nuts about it before it starts. Look, I did it I did it today. I did it yesterday. Yesterday, I showed up to, I did a podcast. Oh, excuse me, 2 days ago. And, you know, I thought we were going to start right on time, but I got in there and they do about a half an hour of writing before we go in. Now, no one told me that. And I wasn't on that tight of a schedule, so it was no big deal. But for about 5 minutes, I wanted to be like, hey, what the fuck? Can we go? Can we just start? Hey, you know, but then I just told myself, look, where do you have to be right now? Hang out with these folks. And I did. And we had a blast talking about the news of the day. And, it, you know, it's what it became exactly the opposite of what I thought it was going to be. Today, I went in to do platelets and they do this thing where you fill out this this thing called a rapid pass. And you answer all the, because they answer all these, they give you all these personal questions about who you've, you know, if you've, I have a whole joke about it, but I won't go into it, but just like your sexual history. And if you ever share needles with anybody, blah, blah, blah. And I, you know, I've had the same answers to those questions for like 10 or 15 years. So I just fill it out in advance. I didn't realize you have to fill it out in advance the day of. I pulled up the form the day before and filled it up and turned it in. They're like, no, this is from yesterday. I'm like, well, I haven't swapped needles between now and then. Like I got kind of, I got a little shitty. And then and realizing I'd have to fill out all those fucking questions again. But she was like, oh, I'm sorry, it's policy. And I'm like, you know what? It's not your fault. It's okay. And it, again, I'm doing fine for time. I'll take care of it. Neither of those things are what you're dealing with or going to deal with, but just keep an open mind. And I think some of those guys like might surprise you, especially one-on-one. But that said, you know it far more than me. These guys might be walking around, with t-shirts that say no means yes, yes means anal, as those shitbag frat boys, were chanting in that awful video. These guys might be just dyed-in-the-wool pieces of crap. I'm sorry, I thought you were showing me. It's not this. I was trying. I'm distracted by shiny objects by producers. That's neither here nor there. You might be right to be very wary of the situation coming up, but again, don't drive yourself crazy about it. And when you need a moment, just walk away, take a second, say you need a smoke break, even if you don't smoke, just announce you got to take a long, heavy dump and leave. Just don't be afraid to take some time for yourself. I find the more you stand up for yourself and don't pander, you become someone that is wanted, that people are like, oh, this person is his own guy. So, maybe we shouldn't be as shitty to him as we are, or you know, whatever. You become desirable, even from a business standpoint. But just don't let them draw you in. The problem with guys like that that are doing the alpha thing is generally because they're either unaware and ignorant or they're deeply afraid or both. There's really no reason for someone to walk into a room and need to take it over and all that shit other than ego. And ego is just, you know, often just a big old blanket for the darkness beneath. So, you know, even if these guys are trying to throw around their weight, you know, and even if let's call him your cellmate, is trying to do that, you know, make sure to stand up for yourself, but at the same time, don't let them really affect you. You can always just say in your head, hey, it's only a fucking week. And then, you know, I live my life by treats because I'm evidently a dog of some kind, but like, it's, you know, like, I really believe that you should give yourself things for living through things, for putting up with things, for working hard, things like that. That's why we have bars and ice cream you know, good relationships and quiet, nice moments. Tell yourself what you're going to do at the end of that week for yourself. Tell yourself, you know, like maybe you like Chinese food. Just be like, I am going to eat all the Chinese food at the end of this week. Or maybe you like going to see comedy, buy a ticket to a show. Maybe like a movie that maybe your wife, your girlfriend, or your boyfriend or your husband doesn't want to see. Like you get to have your time. Go do something just for you. and tell yourself that that's, you know, what you're into. I keep drawing parallels to my life, but I literally just did that today. Like when I had the needles in my arms, I was sitting there going, oh, what am I having for lunch? Because I'm going to eat something really fucking good. And I did. I had a nice little lunch. And, you know, it gets you through having a thing that's coming next. I feel like that's the root of hopelessness is not seeing anything coming up, not seeing anything good coming up. And shit, man, this too shall pass. And you know, I'd recommend seeing the movie Cedar Rapids too with Ed Helms and John C. Reilly, where they basically have a weekend company trip and people get way too drunk and stuff. And it's a funny movie. It's not the best movie, but it's got a lot of really great moments. And it's actually, ironically, it's set in it's shot in this terrible fucking hotel. I stayed in this hotel just outside Ann Arbor, Michigan. I've stayed in it like three times. The last time I did it, I was like, I will not. I told my agent, I was like, tell him I'm not staying in that hotel. Like, you know, I'm not. I love that club, but and now they got me a nice hotel, a hotel that's in town. It's walkable to the club, all that jazz. This hotel is just falling into such disrepair. And you can kind of see in the movie, they even for the movie, you watch the movie, you're like, oh, that's not so bad. Now it's a shithole. I came home after two shows one night, and I've told the long version of this story maybe like a year ago on the show. But like, suffice it to say, I came back into the lobby. There's no one at the desk. Nobody. No one there at all. And the lobby floor is blanketed in empty pizza boxes and crushed beer cans. I'm not kidding you. Like, it's one of those hotels just hanging on by a fucking thread, and they didn't have anyone to even be there to go, sorry, I gotta step around this shit, or much less clean it up. Like, it was such a weird, effed up feeling. I wrote a short story about what if a guy checked into a hotel, and there was one guy, like late at night, and there was one guy there that was running the hotel, and he locked the guy in and just fucked with the dude all night long in the hotel, and the guy couldn't get out. Like, I wrote like a slightly comical horror story based on being in this hotel. So anyway, watch that movie. Just get, you know, the key to the situation is just perspectives. Like, I can tell by your voice, you're still a young dude. And even if you weren't, whatever, your life's going to go on. Like, just this is just a week. I think as long as you keep a good sense of humor, don't drive yourself crazy, and just keep perspective on the whole situation, you know, you'll come out fine. You're going to come out fine regardless, but just don't let it affect you too much. And, you know, just like the old thing that our parents always told us, like, you know, that bully's as scared of you as you are of him, which may or may not be true. I bet that dude doesn't want a roommate as much as you don't want a roommate. So, you know, just use your time. Stay out of the room as much as you can. You know, just make other friends. Do your thing during the day. Take the fuck off at night. Come back at midnight. Go to sleep. Get up early. Go to the gym. Just avoid it. Just use it for sleep, shits, and showers. That's my advice to you, Barnaby. Anyway, thanks for calling in, man. Let's see. I guess I should do a couple little plugs here. I've got... So, as I record this, I'm going to be going to New York this weekend. I'm going to do kind of a cool thing. I'm helping a friend is shooting a pilot where he's a host, and I'm doing kind of a... I'm going to kind of coach him a little bit in terms of being a live performer. And so that's fun. I'm going to be kind of like the Bob Fosse to his Liza Minnelli. That's exciting. But then next weekend, shows start up again. The 15th of December, which is a Friday, I'm going to be in Milwaukee at the, what is it called? The Underground Collaborative, which is a cool-ass name for a place. Adam Burke is joining me, Chicago comedian Adam Burke. And he's great. And then December 16th, I'll be back in Chicago doing doing Lincoln Hall. And that's rad. That's one of my favorite venues in one of my all-time favorite cities where I started out. So get tickets. Go to mattbronger.com. And keep those calls coming, guys. Really appreciate everyone being so supportive and very cool. Make sure you rate the podcast, if you would. You know, give it all the stars on iTunes. That's how we drive more people to the show. I'm trying to get out there and get the people knowing about it, because I feel like we're doing some fun stuff. This is not a thing I'm making money off of. This is not a thing I'm making where I want to be the next, like, you know, Dr. Drew or Donahue or what have you. This is just something I want to do in a podcast. I don't want this to turn into a TV show. This is something I like, you know, just riding the airwaves and just being as much of a fun loving shitbag as I want to be. You know what I mean? So the number again is 323-776-3609. Thanks again for picking me up, and this is me.